order, the House Special Committee on Oil and Gas. Today is, let's see, Thursday, 2:25, excuse me, 3 hours ahead of myself or behind myself. On the 16th of March, 2006, my name is Vic Coring. I chair the committee. We have with us Representative Roekberg, Dahlstrom, and Samuels. So we have a quorum here to conduct business. We're here to hear House Bill 386, and what I'd like to do is present that bill myself since I'm the sponsor of the legislation. Essentially, it just simply extends the production tax credits that are currently existing in state law that expire in 2007, extends them by 3 years to 2010. And if you're wondering why we're extending them now as opposed to waiting until next year, well, we just basically want to give the industry and small independents, but really anybody out there who has an interest in these credits, the chance to be able to plan, the opportunity to be able to plan ahead. So if we pass them now, then it gives them 4 years to work with. And they don't have to wonder if they're going to expire and not be extended next year. We do have a CS before us, but I just wanted to just give some general information about the legislation. Then I'll have my Oil and Gas Committee aide, Sharice Millett, present the changes that are contained in the committee substitute. We're proposing this legislation to make the credits more uniform across the state so that they all expire in 2010. I wanted to note, though, just to be upfront with the folks here, that the verbiage contained in this legislation here is, in fact, a part of the committee substitute that was presented in House Resources today. And however, we think it's still prudent to move this bill forward because with that 488 being a potentially very volatile bill, anything could happen between now and when it goes through the whole process. So we'd like to have this bill, as far as we can get it along in the process, to have it on a standby basis in the event that the provisions in this bill are not ultimately contained in 488. So that's kind of the intent of, not kind of, but that is the intent of moving forth with this legislation. Let's see, there are substantial risks involved for companies, so we feel that these credits will go a long ways to help mitigate those risks, and consequently it'll encourage particularly small independents who are a lot more marginal when it comes to their bottom line and their financial wherewithal to develop. In fact, if it wasn't for the fact that we have the existing tax credits on the books, we never would have seen certain wells being drilled, including the one out in Glen Allen that we were just talking about a short while ago, where $12 million was spent in the state to drill what unfortunately proved to be a dry hole. But they do intend to keep drilling and exploring because it has a lot of potential out there. But the fact is, without this being on the books, that company and others probably would not locate to Alaska and spend the money that they are. So we really feel like this program has been a very beneficial program and has a lot of good potential for the future. Matter of fact, the numbers that I've been given point out that there's been 12 applications so far into this program in recent years. 7 of them have been granted in terms of the credits. There are currently 5 applications that are in process right now. And as far as total credits that have been authorized by the state, it totals almost $15 million. So we're seeing that this program is, in fact, working and attracting companies and capital in the state. So with that, I'd like to, before I get into the public testimony, just have my staff aide, Sharice, present the changes that are contained in the committee substitute, and then from there we'll open up our public testimony.
For the record, my name is Sharice Millett, staff to Representative Coring. The changes in the CS deal with the use of credits. The credits are authorized to be used against production tax. Currently, we're going to expand those to be available for use for bonus bids, lease rental, state property tax, and corporate tax.
Okay.
And that is the extent of the changes.
Okay. Thank you. I probably could have said all that. But I want to give her practice. So yeah. I'm trying to be a good boss. Okay. Thank you very much. Sharice, are there any questions for Sharice? Mm. Yes, Representative Roekberg.
Yeah, I was just trying to prove it quickly through the chair. Where in the bill are those located, Sharice, in the CS?
Page 2, starting line 15, 16, and 17.
Representative Samuels?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The property tax, the corporate income tax, the bonus bid, or the production tax, any of them they can be.
And the lease rental.
Okay.
All three? What? Yeah, okay.
So I might add, to just help clarify, the committee substitute, we're adding to the committee substitute to where the original version, which reflects the current state law, would provide a credit toward production tax credits, and we're expanding that to other things such as property taxes, corporate income taxes, lease rental payments, bonus bids, in addition to the production taxes. So that's essentially the change in the main thrust of the CES. Okay. Well, I'd like to, if there are no more...
Just, Mr. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Just to clarify, it does take the sunset date off of Cook Inlet, is that correct, the way I'm reading it?
Charisse?
Through the chair, Representative Roper, no, this actually extends the North Slope credits, so they're all uniform. Last year, we extended the, and I think it was Representative Samuel's bill that extended everything south of the Umiat line, and this extends the North Slope credits. We didn't do that last year. So this will make the whole credit uniform.
Okay, I'm just checking here because I'm looking in Section 3. On page 3, line 4 and 5, where we're talking about Cook Inlet, and we deleted that period there, but elsewhere in the bill, there's a clarification of that? I'm just trying to understand the bill. Or you've deleted the 2010.
Excuse me, Representative Roper, Representative Samuels.
Thank you. Just to expand on Ms. Millett said is last year started out as House Bill 71 and ended up as House Bill 286. It started out as just credits for the Alaska Peninsula, and then it grew into everything south of the Brooks Range to extend the credits, but we left the North Slope alone. And it started out as the governor's bill is what it started out as. It turned from the peninsula credits to everything south of the Brooks Range, and this just catches up with the slope and expands.
So all the credits will be uniform to 2010?
That's all areas of the state, then. Basically.
Right. Last year, the Cook Inlet credits were just extended to 2007, and we're going to go ahead and extend them also. So everything will be extended.
Because I guess I'm confused by the title and stuff. Okay. We still make the distinction, but we all have the same date. Then.
Mm-hmm. Same date.
And it applies to all forms of taxation.
That's right.
So I take it that my problems about the NPRA are not satisfied, but we'll go on, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, sir. I wanted to also note that if you will reference your files, there are several letters of support in here. We have one from BG North America, David Keene, and we also have one from Mr. Mark Canley of Anadarko Petroleum, who's here to testify on the legislation. Thank you, sir, for joining us. And then also there's a letter that arrived this afternoon from Pioneer Natural Resources in support of the legislation. So I just wanted to note that for the record for your perusal. So with that, we'd like to open up the public hearing. And the first individual I'd like to call forth is my friend Mark Hanley of Anadarko Petroleum. Mr. Hanley, thanks for joining us.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Mark Hanley. I'm the Public Affairs Manager in Alaska for Anadarko Petroleum. And thank you for the opportunity to testify, and we appreciate the fact that you introduced the bill. Our company believes that these incentives are important. We think they are working. As you see from the letter, one of the companies that just joined our partnership, BG, is a large worldwide gas producer. And as you can see from their letter, it was one of the issues that, you know, it was a sales pitch. It was a positive. The state was encouraging investment and trying to help reduce the risk by adding some of these incentives and credits. So we do support the credits. We think they're working. And as you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, I think that extending them, and we had pitched that they be extended this year rather than waiting till the year they end, because companies are making longer-term decisions, and the fact that they know that these will be extended, you know, well, they're already through next year, next winter, but if you can extend them this year, then people have that momentum that's going already and keep it going. Yeah. So to the extent that continues, we think that's appropriate that it happened this year to let people know and fit into their planning process. And as you said, we understand that it was a part of this was added on to the bill earlier, but I'll leave it to you guys as policymakers to decide. But we support the credits, I want to say, particularly with the existing tax system. And also, for particularly some of the other companies, I wouldn't say ours particularly because we have production, but the addition of the ability to utilize them against other sources of income, the income tax, not just the state share of property taxes, bonus bids, lease bids, was important, particularly for companies that we're partnering with, like Petro-Canada and BG, because they don't have existing production, and the more they can take them against items that they will spend, the better off they are. So we think that was an important addition to the bill. So again, thank you for introducing the bill, and we appreciate your support.
You're quite welcome, sir. Any questions for the testifier? Mm-hmm. Representative Rookberg?
Hey, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hanley, could you tell the committee what success Anadarko had in the Gulf of Mexico in the last few days, and in the scope of the bids and the how much?
In the scope of bids?
Yeah, how much did you bid on, and what did you win?
I know we won some bids, Mr. Chairman. I am, through the chair, Representative Rookberg, I know we won some bids. I am not sure how much we spent or.
Well, somebody says, like, I don't know, substantial amounts of money.
I will find out for you, Mr. Chairman. We're doing a lot of things around the world. We just got some leases in Mozambique as well. I mean, we're doing.
Right. Well, you would, yeah.
So. I will be happy to get you. I do not know. I think there was a press release that went out today, as a matter of fact, and I have not read it, to be honest with you, so I'm not sure what the numbers are, but I can get them to you.
Mr. I understood they were substantial. Yeah. Mm, good. Just to note that the government take in the Gulf of Mexico is under 40%. So.
What?
Probably, yeah. It's rather scary when you stop and think about it.
Yes.
I think it's 38, isn't it? Anyway, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Any more questions for Mark? Thank you, Mr. Hanley.
Thank you.
Mr. Hanley, thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony, and thanks for your support of the legislation. Okay, I'd like to go to Mr. Bill Van Dyke. He's the acting director of the Division of Oil and Gas. I understand he's online. In fact, we confirmed that a few minutes ago. Mr. Van Dyke, would you care to offer any comments on House Bill 386?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. This is Bill Van Dyke with the Division of Oil and Gas. I really don't have any prepared comments. Per se, I do believe I'll support Mr. Hanley's comments that I think the Exploration Incentive Credit Program finally has taken off. It takes a few years for these things to get some legs, for companies to roll them into their economics. So I think it finally is making a difference, and companies do plan a few years in advance. So if we do want to extend the program, and I think it makes perfect sense for the state to invest in its future, and to do that. We need to extend the program today.
Right. Well, sir, I thank you for your words of support, and I'd like to just point out that here we're dealing with a bill that has a proven track record of reasonable success. So this is makes it that much more important to extend this legislation as far as the tax credits further on. Okay, Mr. Van Dyke, appreciate that. Is there anybody else that wishes to testify? I know we've got Dick Tremaine online. Do you care to address the legislation, perhaps the fiscal notes, Mr. Tremaine?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dick Tremaine, Department of Revenue. I believe you do have the fiscal note, and I believe also that your summary was absolutely correct, that it's been used 7 times, 12 times applied for. There's been economic benefit to the explorers, and we expect economic benefit to the state down line as resources come on and the state accrues royalties and severance tax property taxes in the areas. To the extent that is expanded, of course, we'll relook at the physical note when called upon to do that. I don't have any further comments right now. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. I wanted to ask the committee if they had any questions for Mr. Van Dyke. So I'd like to open that up to him as well as to Mr. Tremaine. Are there any questions for either gentleman? Representative Rookberg?
Nobody else wants to. This would be to either of the gentlemen's online if. Just a fiscal note, we have an exposure of some $29 million. Mr. Van Dyke, perhaps more suitably, could you refresh my memory of what revenues we receive for on the federal leases in NPRA from the state's perspective, and the applicability of the credits here to those particular lease activities?
Chair, Representative Roper, the state does benefit substantially from activities in NPRA. We share in 50% of the royalty revenues, although those revenues don't come directly to the general fund. They go through a separate process, and a lot of that money ends up in the communities on the North Slope, but that is how it was designed by the federal government. And we will share in production taxes. You know, when there is production from NPRA, that production is subject to state production taxes, and we share in rents and bonuses also, you know, at the 50% level. So there is a substantial benefit to the state from activity in NPRA.
And also the corporate income tax, too, I would assume. Would that be correct?
It, Mr. Chairman, Dick Tremaine, through the chair, Representative Roachberg, yeah, you had Bill here talking about DOR issues, and he was getting a little uncomfortable. Corporate income tax certainly is increased with corporate revenues in the state. Our models do not have severance tax under the current ELF system for NPRA, but should 488 or some substitute bill pass that deals with production taxes, of course, that would generate revenue for the state.
Would that be 100% of the production tax applicable to the state, or is there sharing with the federal government or any other entity?
Mr. Chairman, offhand, I'm not familiar with how the severance tax coming out of NPRA is. My thought is that it's not shared, but I would have to do research to be sure about that.
And the bonus bids are, what, 50-50?
Yes, that is correct.
But we'd get 100% of the corporate tax because they pay a federal tax separately.
We do, after deductions for other things, yes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Mr. Van Dyke, as much as the tax credits under this are applicable to Cook Inlet, we have the bottom hole restrictions still applying. Is that correct, where we have the differential between the 20% and the 40%? I mean, 4355025A. Or where are we? Is that the right area?
Let's see.
Or where do we get the bottom hole? There's 25 miles, or what's what am I looking for here? It's not there.
Yeah.
Where is it? Where is it?
Through the chair, Representative Roachberg, Dick Tremaine, and we're all pawing through our 4355s. I believe it is in D2, and it says the exploration well is located not less than 25 miles outside of the outer boundary as delineated on July 1, 2003. For any development plan. I believe that's the reference, Representative Roper.
Right, it's the mileage area. I guess my concern, Mr. Van Dyke, is what if any real impact in the Cook Inlet Basin could this bill have to Cook Inlet development offshore? Because everything, or really, it seems as if most of the areas of interest there would be excluded from a tax credit under this particular provision. Is that correct?
I think, through the chair, Representative Roachberg, I think it would be, it'd be more, it's certainly very difficult in Cook Inlet to get that 20-mile distance. I mean, the 20% credit, I believe, still applies, and the geophysical credits still apply. The seismic credits, which I think are at 40%. But I think, if I understand your question, Representative Roachberg, it's pretty difficult in Cook Inlet to drill a real rank wildcat well and get that 40-mile distance.
What about 25 miles? That'd still be a problem, too, wouldn't it? It's from the outer boundary. Let's see. It says... Okay, not less than 25 miles outside the outer boundary as delineated of any unit that's under a plan of development. So about the whole, almost the whole inlet's under a plan of development are pretty close, isn't it? Or within at least 25 miles of one of a boundary of one, aren't they?
Through the chair, Representative Roachberg, that's correct. It's pretty difficult even to get 25 miles away from an existing...
Elgin Island or something.
Yeah.
So the way it's drafted now, this bill would have little or no impact on Cook Inlet. Does that be a correct assumption?
Through the chair, Representative Roquefort, certainly for the geophysical activity, it has an effect. And some of the wells are earning credits in Cook Inlet, but not at the higher rate.
Wait a minute. What, under this provision of statute, there are any credits or another provision?
Well, if I can, through the chair, Dick Tremaine, to Representative Roquefort, of the seven sets of credits that have been granted so far, three were within Cook Inlet, two for seismic and one for well. Whether that helps the discussion. And that was for work in FY06.
I'd be interested to know where the well was.
That stuff, I believe, is confidential. I certainly don't have it.
It's the what? The granting of an application is confidential? I can understand the amounts and so forth, but that sounds a little strange.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Roper, the location of the well would be confidential. It's my understanding, but be that as it may, I haven't been given that information. I've been given the numbers.
Good. We have a phantom secret well. I like that. That's good. Hopefully, it's successful. 25 miles from something. Gosh, that's really interesting.
Are there any more questions by the committee? One thing I failed to request is a motion to adopt the committee substitute following Sharice's presentation of it, so I'd entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
So moved by Representative Dahlstrom. Any objection? Seeing none, the CS has been, before us, is adopted. Is there any other public testimony, either online or here in Juneau, on House Bill 386 before we move this bill from committee? I see none. Are there any other questions or comments from the committee members before I request a motion to move this bill?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to object to this bill moving, but I still have some concerns about it, given the problems in sharing of revenues in NPRA when under the current impact funding, the North Slope Borough gets first, under the federal statutes, get the first opportunity to ask for impact aid from any monies, even before a permanent fund deposits are made. And there's discussion, there's legislation for the legislature, there's even discussion with the congressional delegation regarding even a change of federal statute. I think, in my personal opinion, is it's the type of issue that needs to be resolved with all parties involved, including, and most particularly, the North Slope Borough. Mm-hmm. They're most directly impacted. But I think with development on the slope, any realization of further income stream on the part of the state of Alaska would be diminished substantially by the current federal statutes, and I think that needs to be reviewed in light of this. And I also frankly have some concerns about this Cook Inlet, and I'd appreciate it if Mr. Tremaine could give us as much information as not confidential regarding that well, and perhaps Mr. Van Dyke about the applicability of this credit on the Cook Inlet Basin, because it could have further ramifications. I think it's a major issue that we should all be aware of.
All right.
I'd appreciate some follow-up on that.
Okay.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll shut in my mouth.
Sir, thank you very much for those remarks. They're well noted, and we will be sure to address those concerns as the bill moves along in the process. So, Sharice, let's follow up on those, okay? And before I ask for a motion, I just wanted to let the those that are listening and those that are here in person that represent the industry, that we are certainly, anyway, as chairman of this committee, I'm concerned about the effect of House Bill 488, and I'm hopeful that there'll be substantial benefits in that bill in the form of credits and so forth that ultimately are a part of that bill when it's signed into law. But I hope that the industry still feels Alaska is open for business despite the tax increases. I'm quite troubled by that, but I will say that the chairman of the Resources Committee has done a great job, Representative Samuels and my vice chair here, in terms of exercising restraint and trying to achieve a good balance there. So I commend him for that, but I am concerned about the long-term effect of what a major tax increase will have on the industry. I think it'll be chilling, and hopefully we'll be able to keep those tax levels as low as possible and retain as many credits and good things that will incite development in the state of Alaska. So with that campaign speech, no. With that, those final comments, I'd ask for a motion to move House Bill 380, committee substitute, excuse me, for House Bill 386 from committee. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make the motion to move the CS for HB 386, number 24-LS1510/F, with individual recommendations and attachments promote.
Are there any objections to moving the bill as noted by Representative Dahlstrom? Seeing none, the bill has moved out of committee, so we are adjourned at 5:40. Thank you very much for everybody's attendance.